Welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which you can meet New York City's kinda eligible. And today I have a special guest, or rather I have a really good friend of mine, and she is new to New York, but is thriving. So basically, just why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? What are you doing now? Where in New York City are you living? Where you went to school? You know the rundown.
Okay, sure. Okay, so always an interesting question when people ask me where I'm from. It's a little bit of a mixed cocktail. So I was born in San Francisco, so here in the United States. Never really lived here though, just, you know, passport baby, hit it and quit it. But afterwards, I lived in Dublin in Ireland until I was about nine and a half. After, I moved to Mumbai in India, where my family's actually originally from. And I finished up high school there and then went to Emory down south for college. So
the Harvard of the South.
Yes, the Harvard of the South. My brother actually went to Harvard, so...
Unlike my brother who went to Emory and he's like the Harvard of the South, and I'm like, what about Duke and Vanderbilt? No, Emory's a great school. So what did you do at Emory?
So I was a psychology major at Emory, which is actually interesting because you asked me to talk a little bit about what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Not very psychology related.
I mean, not really.
Not really at all. But I actually work in an asset management firm. I work at BlackRock.
Mm-hmm.
I work a little bit in, as people like to call it, fintech. So a little bit of finance, a little bit of tech. And I'm really enjoying it. It's definitely... been a bit of a challenge coming from
don't really get to have a life.
I really spent a lot of time thinking about, okay, of course I'm moving to New York primarily for work, but what are the other reasons why I chose this city over other cities that I had offers in, and why I wanted to be here? And I sort of made a promise to myself that I was gonna strike that balance and capitalize on all the other great things that the city has to offer.
Yeah, like be able to be here and actually enjoy it.
Exactly.
And where in the city are you living now?
So I live in Midtown East.
Mm-hmm.
Not
Murray Hill.
But no, not Murray Hill. No.
Like, you know, the typical New York.
Yeah, no,
fresh off the boat.
Not Murray Hill. I actually live in a... area that's, I think, definitely typically not where people my age live. Mm-hmm. I live close, just
like Sutton Place,
I guess, is the way it's
described.
Way it's categorized officially.
Mm-hmm. What are your favorite restaurants to go to in the city? Maybe where do you like to go out?
So going out, I will say that I haven't taken a lot of ownership on it. I think one thing that I want to do, in the next couple of months is sort of be the one to like make the plan, decide where we're going, do my research, go to places. I've done like a lot of like the classic kind of things, like going out on the Lower East Side, mm-hmm. Mr. Purple, Hotel Chantel.
Oh, the classics.
Kind Regards, like all these places and around the East Village, Lower East Side. I've been to a couple of nicer, quieter places for drinks, maybe mm-hmm. with just one or two friends. One place I really liked was this kind of like speakeasy-esque place called Dear Irving.
Mm-hmm. Which... Any food spots?
Oh, well, I guess you bring up food, I'm going to go straight to dessert. A little hidden gem.
Love dessert.
A little hidden gem in Midtown East, Beard Papa's.
Also,
if anyone...
on the Upper West Side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the one that I frequent close to my office and home. In
Beard
Midtown East. Beard Papa's, exactly. Well, what are they famous for? Cream puffs.
Bomb.
But personally, I think
the real kicker,
the real hit, are their chocolate fondants.
If you like chocolate lava cake, and how
this
much are they? Like $3?
Maybe not even. Like, it's
like
just...
that's cheaper than a Levain cookie, and You just go and you can get a bunch of them and keep them in your fridge and heat them up later.
They last a really long time. They're literally just about 30 seconds in the microwave and it's like something coming fresh out of the oven.
They're delicious.
Unreal. They're so rich. Even without ice cream, just unbelievable.
Even cold. People like them cold. Okay, good pro tip. Okay, so let's talk about what we are really here for.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with your dating life?
So, you know, if I'm being very honest, not much has been going on since I moved to New York.
I mean, I could believe that because, Jesus Christ, you have no time.
Yeah, so I think, and I think I talked to you about this a lot, I think I've been saying it more than really doing it in practice. I think I've said a lot of things, about a lot of things that I want to do, and some of them I've done, but then I guess some of them I haven't, and one of them has been making time to date people and to really explore that part of my life. I think, like I told you, coming to New York, while I have met a lot of new people, mainly through just socializing with people I already know and through work, like I said, though, it hasn't really been a challenge to make friends, and I don't really feel myself, and this could be a bad thing right now, but not really actively trying to meet new people, and I think that's where it, like, really plays into my dating life, because a lot of my socializing is sometimes very circumstantial, and hanging out in groups is easy, you know, and to meet new people, it'll be, you know, I'll go with a friend, and then there'll be five new friends of friends, and right. It's just easy and chill, and there's no planning ahead required, no coordination. The people who already know each other will coordinate it, and it's just easy.
It's all about, at the end of the day, to, like, meet people through friends of friends.
Yeah, but I think, like, when it comes down to that, then, it's always taken for me more as just, you know, like, socializing and having a good time, and I haven't really carved out that space in my mind to be like, okay, all this time that I do have in my free time, why don't I allocate some of it to really put myself out there? And
what does that mean to you, like, putting yourself out there?
Well, I think
does that mean, like, getting on dating apps?
Yeah.
Are you on any dating apps? Like, what is...
Yeah, no. So I'm on one dating app. Mm-hmm. I am on Hinge.
Yeah.
And I've been on it for a while. I sort of went on it early on when I moved to New York, and I just haven't really made that much of an effort to, like, sort of leverage what's going on there. I think there'll be a lot of times where, you know, some great guys pop up and, you know, the initial conversation will start, and then I'll just, you know, be a Thursday night and I get done with work maybe a little bit earlier, I have some time, and I'm just like, oh, I don't, like, I just haven't really, like, allocated that space in my mind to be like,
now I'm gonna go meet someone new,
myself, where it's like, and I think part of that is a negative of, like, me being so comfortable in New York, is that I'm not feeling,
there's no,
like,
urgency.
There's no urgency, and I'm not really... for some reason feeling that motivated to say, okay, now I'm just gonna go meet this new person after work. Yeah. I kind of feel myself shying away from that.
What sort of relationships have you been in thus far?
So I think all of my past relationships have ended very positively.
Yeah.
In a surprising way. I know that that's not always everyone's experience. I think maybe they didn't necessarily always end positively, but I think I'm friends with all of my exes. In fact, one of my exes actually works in my office building, and funnily enough, we've kind of been through it all together. Like, we went to college together. I mean, high school together. We went to college together. You know, we kind of follow each other everywhere. He just couldn't get away from me. Like,
even though he's the year older.
He's a year older, but somehow still, you know, like, either I had to follow him around or he had to follow me around. So, you know,
and that relationship wasn't even that long. It's just by coincidence you've ended up in the same places.
Yeah, absolutely. No, not a very long relationship, just a couple months. But, you know, we were at college together, which was interesting. You know, I just to give some context, I think mainly the spark that was really between us was in high school, which mm-hmm. is funny. It was a long time ago. And that's sort of like, you know, carried forward to college, I think, at least for the first 2 years that I was at college. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a lot of drama. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, it's surprising that we're doing good now, because there was a lot of...
Spill the tea.
Well, I mean, there was just, like, I think there was just no communication between us that would land us up in these wild situations. Like, okay. I remember it was, like, the third week. I'm this new freshman, don't know anyone. Get invited to a party, get invited to the pregame before the party. And the only person I knew that was going was him. So I had this fantasy in my mind that... like, he must still be into me, and like, he's totally gonna take me to the pregame, and we're totally gonna hang out at the party. Like, already built up fantasy in my mind about how we're gonna have this fun, great night together. I text him and I ask him whether he's gonna be at the pregame, thinking that our dorms are right next to each other, we're just gonna go together, it's gonna be fine. And he texts me back saying, yep, I'll see you there. So I was like, all right. So kind of feeling a little bit down about that, I skipped the pregame, which today me would have never let then me do.
Yeah.
But landed up at the party, and like, I see him there, so I hang out with him. You know, we end up hanging out, you know, a little bit of making out. Mm-hmm. And just as we're, you know, pulling away from each other, this girl, who I've quite frankly never seen before in my entire life, starts calling his name, and we, you know, we're sitting like down, like on a lower, I think it was like on a chair or like a poof, or I don't know what you call those things. We're sitting on one of those, and mm-hmm. she was standing up, and we just, you know, finished a round of making out, and he
a round.
There were a couple, one of the many rounds, and he gets up because this girl is calling him towards her.
Yeah.
And it's literally about a foot away from me.
Okay.
And they just start making out in front of me. Okay. never seen this girl before in my entire
life. What?
Never seen this girl before in my entire
life. So you guys were making out. This is at the pregame?
No. I skipped the pregame.
Okay, this is at the party.
It's the party.
You guys are making out. And you had been making out a few times throughout the night.
Yes.
And then this girl calls him. He gets up, walks over to her, and they start making out.
Yes. And on top of that, like I said, we had some communication issues. So after that little walk away and dramatic turn of events, I didn't hear from him for 6 weeks.
What?
Yes.
You went to the same school.
Yeah, and I didn't see him, and I didn't hear from him for 6 weeks. Meanwhile, this girl, who, have I mentioned, never met in my entire life.
Right.
Decides to...
And you're a freshman.
I'm a freshman. I think she was a junior when I was... she was probably a junior at the time. She kind of makes it her personal mission to spread all kinds of crazy rumors about me, about how I stole her boy.
Oh, geez.
They weren't even dating.
You also knew him in high school. You guys dated in high school.
It was the most bizarre thing. So I had all these amazing rumors flying around me, about me on Emory's campus, about how I'm not really a girl's girl, and, you know, I stole her man, and I'm not to be trusted. Needless to say, it had a zero impact. It's just ridiculous. But, yeah, not as important. But, you know, I didn't hear from him for 6 weeks. 6 weeks later, I get a text saying something bizarre. It was so bizarre, I can't even remember. But something along the lines of, hey, haven't heard from you in a while. You seem kind of annoyed at me, and I'm not really sure why. So, if that doesn't explain 21-year-old boys well enough to you, I hope that really hit the nail on the head.
Then, why? Come on.
I know. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Did you tell
ridiculous.
Him?
Yeah, so I told him. But that really wasn't the end of his goof ups. So that happened.
This guy was your brother's friend.
Yeah. So
It was always interesting navigating that. Because I think we were a bit younger when things started up between us. I think I was like 17.
It's a little hard because you and your brother went to the same high school.
And it was a small high school.
And he was only a year above.
Yeah. And I think I think that was not even the biggest challenge. But I think because he was my brother's friend, I think that presented itself as a major challenge from the beginning. Not really for me, because I have a very good relationship with my brother. I think we're pretty open with each other, so it wasn't really a problem when it came to me. But I think from his perspective, it being one of his closest friend's sisters, it was very tough. And I know for a fact, he shared with me openly, that it was very tough for him to navigate that. I think he really held off for a very long time, almost until he was like, okay, well, if I don't tell her now and I don't try to make something happen, I'm never going to have the chance. It really came down to the line.
Mm-hmm.
But that was interesting too, just because I think going into it, I was like, oh, how bad could it be? It's my brother's friend. But I think it was really challenging. It would get really awkward sometimes. There would be several times where I would have to, like, you know, in a household where there's so many people crawling all over it all the time, but sneak him in like really late at night at absurd hours and we didn't like live nearby each other. So it would be like he would hang out at a friend's house that was like close by to my house. And then like once everyone had gone to sleep, and sometimes like that would be at 2 or 3 a.m. like sneak him in and we would like hook up, but then he would like have to leave before like 5 or 6 a.m. before like anyone would wake up.
Damn,
and, like,
that high school life. But not even that, it's like high school plus it's your brother's friend.
Exactly. And but it was like,
it's also like not the first time you've been involved with your brother's friends.
Yeah, no, it's like second time, third time.
Third time's the charm.
I think at least two or three times. I was
your
counting.
Your poor brother is like, I can't introduce her to anyone.
No, I actually vowed to stay off of my brother. No, seriously, I vowed to stay off of my brother's friends. I think we've had enough.
I mean, one of them was pretty high profile.
We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
But one of them, my brother really did approve of.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, the one that we've been talking about, I guess, understandably, really didn't approve of him.
Yeah.
Considering how things went, I should have listened to him. Didn't liked him a lot as a guy, but just had this strong gut feeling that he's not right for me.
Yeah.
Not that my brother ever told him explicitly that he didn't approve.
Yeah.
I'm sure
his friend couldn't talk to him about it. And you can talk to your brother about it, so it's like
it was tough,
a little awkward.
Yeah, it was very awkward, I think. And upon like my brother's friend having to have discussions with him, I think it was hardest for him, just because between siblings, it's gonna be tense, but it'll always work itself out.
Yeah, but
I think
with
you,
friends,
yeah, you don't always have that unconditional positive regard with.
Yeah, you don't
friends.
Have the unconditional love or like, you know, patience to put up with someone if they are not related to you.
Exactly. So I think that was challenging. And I think...
shout out to our brothers. We love you.
Yeah, absolutely. We love you a ton. But yeah, it was very challenging. And I think also because my brother kind of felt on the fence about it. Because I've had like, not like close friends of my brother's, but creepy extended friends of my brother's like trying to like hit on me at parties. And my brother will be like, go up to them and be like, absolutely, like, no.
Yeah.
Because he'll know he's against it and I'm against it, so that's, like, an easy stance.
Yeah.
But wherein it's, like, he's against it, but he can also see that it's making me happy. It's like, a tougher,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Situation
like,
to
when
deal
someone
with.
Hits on you who's his friend who you're, like, into.
Into. And he, like, his whole body, like, doesn't want it to happen, but in his heart, he just wants to see me happy.
Yeah. Do you feel like your upbringing has had any effect on like how you view relationships and dating? Because I mean, I know it's so different in India, like, and how that relates to being here, because we've been friends forever, but we grew up in very different environments.
So I think for me, and I'm just going to be totally honest, I think it definitely does play a role. Mm-hmm. I think, and I'll get into it in a minute, but I think I'd like to think of myself as sort of a balance between sort of preserving certain values of tradition and culture that mm-hmm. I grew up with, but also having a very open mind. I think I'm very much accepting and able to adopt practices from both the Western world and, you know, the more like Eastern Indian culture that I grew up with, yeah. the more, you know, the individualistic versus collectivist culture, if you will.
Yeah. And I think, like, for the listeners who, you know, are not from India, even though shout out to my listeners in India, I'm trending in India, don't know how. Culture in India is very, like you said, collective. Like, mm-hmm. the whole thing is a family affair. Like, joint families are the norm, which is when, like, people get married and then they move in with their parents, with their, like, husband or wife or whatever, and then they have kids, like, in the house that their parents live with, and the whole family lives together. And, you know, arranged marriages are still a thing. A lot of my cousins had arranged marriages. Mm-hmm. And just, like, the family insertion into your, like, love life and sort of the expectations are a lot different in Indian culture than what they are, like, in Western American culture.
I think fairly non-traditional. I didn't grow up in a joint family. My yeah. parents didn't have an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
And in their time, a big deal, an inter-religion marriage.
Right, my and dad, same with my parents exactly. as well, yeah.
So my dad is Muslim, my mom is Hindu. In India, that's a big deal.
I mean, yeah, if you read the news now, you know that's still a big deal.
Exactly. So, but you know, it's so weird because even though my parents objectively come from such different backgrounds, the way my mom's family is meshed with my dad's family is actually amazing. I often find myself, obviously not for the short term, but when I at least think about the kind of person that I would want to be with in the long run, I have myself very drawn to looking for something that was similar to what I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because it's a unique background, it's very hard yeah. for me to find. And I think, I mean, at least...
And what do you mean by, like, similar to what you grew up with?
So, I think I could never be with somebody who has a strict religious affiliation.
Yeah.
Because... For example, like in my house, in Indian Hindu festival, for example, is Diwali. And yeah. my dad's not very religious at all, but my mom is fairly religious.
Yeah.
And that's always been embraced in our household. But one thing, like, you know, people will do a prayer ceremony on Diwali in, mm-hmm. in Indian families, typically at home or in, you know, in their office or wherever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that'll mainly consist of Hindu prayers. But growing up, my mom would always, you know, have a prayer ceremony for us at home, but it would have Christian prayers and it would have Muslim prayers mm-hmm. and we would, as well as Hindu prayers as well. And you know, my parents always taught us to be like more like good people and spiritual and like respect.
That's exactly like what I tell to people who ask me about my religion.
Yeah.
And actually a plug, I was interviewed for a podcast called Shoes Off, Please, and it's launching sometime in 2020. So I will be plugging that again on my Instagram, but we talked about dating and dating in Asian culture specifically, because they're a podcast all about the Asian experience, Asian American experience. And I had a really similar situation to you, which was, my dad was Muslim, my mom was Jain, which is, like, maybe even worse than being a Hindu. Like, I don't even know. And at the end of the day, religion has not been an extremely big part of growing up.
Yeah.
And my parents valued more, like, be a good person, treat others how you would like to be treated. Like, that sort of moral obligation and being and those values... and that's what I also care about in other people. I think, especially in India, like, I don't want to make any generalizations, but more often than not, and this is really just a cultural thing, like, the men in India, from India, who live in India, like,
are a little more dependent and expect more stereotypical roles from a woman than like people like in America would necessarily expect.
Yeah, no, I think I completely agree with you. And I think being a young person, that kind of, I mean, not to say that I'm very unique or that there's no one like me, but I think I am in a unique position because I really see myself sort of always like playing the balance between the two. I'll go home and it'll be a lot more traditional Indian influence, and I'll be like the last 5 years living in America, and you know, it's totally different. And I think I've really had to come to that realization myself. So many of the guys that I'll meet back home kind of don't really have very high expectations of the girls that they want to date. They're kind of like, they're not very I think they respect women, but they're not very empowering when it comes to women, and that's always been something that's bothered me. They're kind of like, you know, we'll do our career and we'll get an MBA, and like, you can just, you know, like, what does it matter, like, girls, like, they'll just get married and like, it doesn't matter. But here, I think, and the reason why I find myself here is because, you know, girls are a lot more motivated to have their career paths. Or, you know, Indian families that live here don't pressure a lot of the times their children to get married as early. It's, you know, there's a more emphasis on education and career. And I think that's something that I definitely veer more towards. I, regardless of when I'm with someone, I'm not with someone in the future, I think that's really irrelevant to what my career and education goals are. I think that really goes unchanged. And
you want someone there to support you and to empower you.
Yeah, not like someone who expects me to be dependent on them, because culturally that is acceptable.
Yeah. So the rest of college, like, what did you do? Did you have fun? Like...
I think, I think, you know, I think college was really all fun for me.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything serious at all. Just kind of rode the wave. I would meet a lot of fun guys, and like, you know, just that was, chalk it up to like that, you know, a lot of fun guys having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just did things without thinking.
Yeah, you don't really like understand the repercussions sometimes.
Yeah, do things without thinking, do things without, you know, really thinking that they're ever going to come back into your life.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of hit it and quit it.
Right.
So funny. Last week at work, my senior analyst asked me if I wanted to be a part of running a super day at my company. And
how many people are in a super day?
Well, the way we do it is we have like multiple super days, so a lot of kids could get called for a super day, but I think at one day at a time, just so that we're able to handle the volume and it's not super overwhelming. We have about like 5 or 6 kids.
Okay, so it's like an intimate group.
Oh, super intimate. And I get this, you know, get the lowdown on like who we're interviewing, and there's a kid from Emory. And I was literally remembered, like, I just was so taken aback. I like am all excited and ready to interview these candidates. I love meeting new people. I was and especially kids. Like, I just love meeting people that are like, you know, in the proximity of like what you were like a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's fun.
Super excited about it. That's why I wanted to do the interview. But I am all geared up to go to this super day, and one of the kids interviewing is actually someone that I'd hooked up with a couple months ago.
Oh my god.
And it was just, I was just so floored. I just never thought that that would happen.
What did you do?
Nothing. Just took it like a champ. Like, just did not acknowledge it. Just didn't, just...
Did he give you, like, eyes or anything? Or was it, like, completely professional?
No, I think it was totally very professional. I think we even had a conversation over the phone about the job later. He wanted to know, you know.
Oh, so he hit you up after?
Yes, he hit me up.
Opening that door again?
No, absolutely not. But no. We actually ended on very awkward circumstances. I would say it's the only time in my life where I've ghosted someone so hard. It was
And
then he shows up at your company super
I
know, day.
I thought I'd finally mastered the art of ghosting through that experience.
It's kind of empowering, though.
You know, it was. And people are like, so, like, what do you think of this kid? Like, did you know him at Emory? I was like,
You're like,
nah, you know, kind of. Just, like, saw him around a little bit. Just don't really know too much about it. And it's like, I work with young people, so, like, I mean, I'm sure they're understanding, but it's not necessarily
You're
something.
Not trying to tell everyone at work.
You don't want people to know. So, honestly, if he does end up getting hired, I really hope he keeps his mouth shut.
And we'll take that as a warning.
Yes, if you are listening at all.
So, we're going to do a few questions that are pulled from my Instagram. So, if you're at, check out at drinks.first on Instagram if you want to participate in these fun poll questions we put up every once in a while, if not every day. And usually they're based off the last episode. So we're just going to get into some of those. Would you get with one of your friend's siblings?
Friend's siblings. Yeah.
Would you get with someone who's 40 years old? Do you follow people on Instagram that you have dated?
Yeah.
Follow people on Instagram that you have hooked up with?
Yeah.
Would you send your kid to an all-boys or an all-girls school?
Personally, no.
Do you think there's a difference between dating someone slash being versus like being in a relationship with someone?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so now we're gonna do shots, which are this and that questions, and you're gonna have to answer rapid fire.
Okay,
so I'm ready. You're ready to do some shots.
Ready?
Ready to pound some shots.
Pound, ready.
Okay, would you rather $1 million in your bank or an IQ of 145 plus?
$1 million?
Six sons or six daughters?
Sons.
Live-in massage therapist or live-in chef?
Massage therapist, I like cooking.
1 million Instagram followers or $100,000?
$100,000.
A pet pig or a pet goat?
Goat.
Aquarium or zoo?
Aquarium.
Be 4 feet tall or 8 feet tall?
4 feet.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Be loved or be feared?
Be loved.
Be rich and dumb or poor and smart?
Poor and smart.
Be stuck at age 18 or age 50?
Age 50. I'm already there.
Give up love or give up success?
Oh my gosh. Success.
Heels or flats?
Heels.
Instagram or Snapchat?
Instagram.
London or New York?
New York.
If you had a boat, what would you name it?
If I had a boat, what would I name it? Something like grand, like the Excelsior, like something, I don't know. Okay. Something that was like very bougie that no one would get.
Okay. Well, we're done. Thank you for, I think this podcast was definitely more wholesome than my episodes usually are. So if you have any feedback on that, please send me a DM at drinks.first on Instagram or on my personal Instagram, which is at ArianaNathani28. Thank you so much for sitting down and talking to us.
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I mean, anytime. If you're trying to slide into the DMs for our amazing guest this week, hit at drinks.first on Instagram or our email drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. And if you liked it, please leave a review on Apple, give us a rating on Apple, and subscribe on any sort of platform you're listening to. And I really hope that you guys have a great week, and I will see you next time. Bye.
10X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour. presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.